such peace. And today's scripture lesson comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 19. God's word says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life." God's word. Did you know that Mr. Clean, the bald, muscular, earring, bedazzled, and immaculately dressed icon of all things shiny and scrubbed, turned 61 this year? Since 1958, America has become accustomed to seeing him show up in commercials, helping someone make things spick and span with his patented formula. And in these 60-some years, he hasn't aged much, has he? He wears a white shirt, has white eyebrows, and his arms are always folded. Some might say that he looks like a very clean bouncer at a nightclub. On the face of it, this is odd. A bald guy telling a woman how to clean house. Reimagining this with today's sensibilities in mind, it might make more sense for Miss Clean to show up in the kitchen and share some tips with the woman of the house, or have Mr. Clean appear out of nowhere to rescue Mr. Husband from some incomprehensible mess on the kitchen floor. Anyway, Mr. Clean's solvent was originally created as an alternative to the corrosive fluids that had previously been used for cleaning ships. Perhaps that's why Mr. Clean looks like a guy who just stepped off of a squeaky clean Navy ship. Then again, he might just be a pirate. That description may be more accurate than we thought, given the fact that the price for products like Mr. Clean and other household cleaning supplies is continually inching upward. If you've been in the store to pick up paper towels, bleach, diapers, laundry detergent, or even toothpaste, you may have felt like you're getting cleaned out yourself these days. Prices are increasing from anywhere between 2 to 20% on a number of cleaning staples. Big manufacturers like Procter & Gamble, Colgate, Palmolive, and Clorox claim that the increases are necessary to offset higher commodity costs and to boost their profits. And keeping things clean has always been costly, not only in terms of various goos, potions, and wipes we use, but also in terms of elbow grease. I mean, dirt and grime have a tendency to accumulate quickly, and it takes diligent, determined, and daily effort to scrub, scour, sweep, mop, dust, and wipe down all things domestic. But you know, the same could be said of our spiritual lives. Left unattended, our lives tend to accumulate a lot of harmful gunk that can really gum up the works and make it difficult for us to live freely and cleanly as God intended. If cleanliness is next to godliness, as my grandmother always told me, then the reverse would also seem to be true. A godly life is a clean life. The cost for this kind of life is going up too, as a sinful world seems to be intentionally spreading dirt into every area of human life, whether it be by media, malicious debate, or just bad behavior. It's a world that can leave us all feeling a little bit dirtier these days. The same was true in the first century, however, and the Apostle Paul acknowledges the need for some serious house cleaning, particularly in the church of which his young protege, Timothy, was the pastor. You see, the church had been dirtied up by some contentious people who had been stoked by false teachers who did not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ in the teaching that is in accordance to and with his godliness. The same false teachers believed that godliness was a means of financial gain, increasing their own profits. Essentially, these imposters had pirated the church, no doubt trying to look squeaky clean in the process. So Paul gives Timothy a lesson in spiritual house cleaning that doesn't require an overstocked janitorial closet. He gives him a lesson in simplicity, in contentment, and in using the right solution. First, we look at simplicity. One of the responses people have to the rising cost of household cleaning supplies is to seek simpler and more natural solutions. Vinegar, for example, is really cheap and can be diluted with water to become a miracle cleaning solution for windows and countertops. Baking soda has a wide variety of cleaning applications, as well as being useful for baking on occasion. A cloth rag is reusable and washable and can take the place of a bunch of disposable paper towels. It's about looking around at what one already has at hand, rather than expending the resources to accumulate more. Next is contentment. Paul's advice to Timothy is to do the same thing. He tells Timothy to focus on the resources at hand. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, says Paul in verse 6. In contrast to those who are addicted to their desires and the accumulation of money and stuff, which clutters not only one's house, but one's spiritual life, Paul reminds Timothy that the real necessities of life are those that are the most basic and simple. Since we entered the world naked and we leave it the same way, everything we deal with in between must be put into proper perspective. We are stewards, not owners. Thus, we must be careful not to put too much value on things, on the things that seem to be necessary, but in actuality really aren't. Food and clothing are the essentials, says Paul in verse 8. And if we have those, it is enough. If we have those, Paul says that we should be happy and content. People who live simply live cleanly. And those who live cleanly live with contentment. They are not dependent upon anything other than God to supply for their needs. The false teachers, on the other hand, well, they are slaves to their cravings and thus continue to accumulate the world's dirt in every corner of their lives. Now, people are always looking for the right solution, aren't they? Many people think that money is the answer to everything. They think that more money solves all problems. But actually, more money oftentimes adds to our problems. But let's be clear here. Paul isn't running down wealth as a terrible thing. It's actually a great thing when it is used wisely and with the mindset of a godly steward. Pursuing wealth over godliness, on the other hand, can lead people into all sorts of temptation and trap them in many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. It's not money itself that's bad, but the love of money that digs up all kinds of evil dirt that gets spread around in someone's life. That's what's bad. And it can lead people away from the faith. Something which clearly happened in Timothy's community, leaving many of them pierced with many pains. The truly godly person, by contrast, understands that money is not the right solution for getting things clean. Godliness is not about money or marketing. The right solution is a mix of things. The right solution is righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. That's the right solution. Paul's list sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but a more immediate parallel is found in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Gentleness was a moral ideal in the Roman world and was said to be an especially important virtue for leaders. It involves calmness and moderation as opposed to power and dissension, which was sown by Timothy's opponents. You see, Paul knew the difficulty of being a Christian in a hostile world. So he further encouraged Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, appropriating the language of an Olympic contest to represent the moral struggle of leading well and staying clean in a world that is dirty and fights dirty. And the reality is, we face that still today, maybe more so than ever. The prize for winning such a fight, though, and coming out clean is, well, it's the eternal life to which Timothy was called and for which he made the good confession in presence of many witnesses. Now, a clean life is modeled by Jesus, Paul says, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. The reality is those who confess Christ and model their lives after him, well, those people can stand before anyone in the world, even the powerful and the accusers, and those who would seek to judge them, and they can remain clean without spot or blame until Christ Jesus returns. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords will return at the right time. And he is the one for whom we are to live for in our lives. No matter how much dirt the world tries to pile on us, or how much pressure the Pontius Pilates of this world would bring to bear, God is the real ruler of the world, the one who alone has immortality and is worthy of our worship. Paul goes on to say that if anyone does happen to be wealthy, it is important for them to use their wealth in ways that are both godly and clean. They are to set their hopes on God, who provides all things, to be rich in doing good and in generosity, and to store up the treasure of a good foundation for the future. That's the way to take hold of the life that really is life. A life which godliness and cleanliness really are bound up in one another. And you know, Paul's warning to Timothy should encourage us to think about doing some of our own fall cleaning for our spiritual lives. Should cause us to reflect upon what do we spend our time and money accumulating. Is it worth it? Does it actually get us closer to godliness? It's an invitation to do some inventory. Another question, are we content with what we have? And do we share our resources with others in need? Are we being overwhelmed with the world's dirt and clutter? Or are we focused on fighting the good fight of faith? Things we should consider. You see, Mr. Clean would like us to pay a little more for his products these days. He might be a pirate, but then again, we might not need all those supplies anyway. My friends, a truly clean life involves simplicity, being content, and the right solution. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you today, and we thank you for the lesson that the Apostle Paul gave to Timothy. And we can see the correlation between the world that Timothy was ministering in and our world today. There are many similarities. Maybe even more so today is it challenging to live a life of cleanliness, a life that brings honor and glory to you. Lord, it is my prayer that you lay upon our hearts to evaluate our lives, to see our priorities in life, and do they line up with your priorities. Lord, may you help us become more and more like your Son Jesus each and every day as we strive to reflect his image to a lost and helpless world. Use us, Lord. We just thank you and love you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.